So Ephesians 5 and verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's just ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word, but also bless our time together in the preaching of his word. Let's pray. My Lord, as we bow before you this morning, we come before you needy, Father, of your help. Lord, I pray that you would first of all help me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and enable me, Lord, to be able to preach this thought that you put upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us as men, married or single, God help us as men to learn from this message today. And then God, I pray that you'd be pleased to help the ladies. I pray you'd minister grace to them as they sit under the preaching of the word. And Lord, we ask that you would be pleased to honor yourself, glorify yourself, magnify yourself, and help your people this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message, you want a title? I'll give you a title. Verse 25, three words, love your wives. Love your wives. The instruction is to husbands to love your wives. I've got 4 points this morning. Three of them are in relation to your wife. One's in relation to your children. And particularly preaching to married men this morning. But let me make this statement. Whether you're married or not, God's got something from the message for you. So you're not a man, you're not a male, you're a female. You just think, well, I'm just going to disconnect. I wouldn't do that. Because God the Holy Ghost can take something in the message and minister to your need and your heart, even though in my mind I'm preaching to the men. So you listen to the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that God the Holy Ghost will have something for you from his word as we work our way through it. Does that make sense? That okay? And so let's get into it. Point number one. Well, let me give you the 4 points. Don't usually do this, but let me give you the 4 points, and then we'll cover them. Point number one is love them. Point number two, rejoice with them. Point number three, dwell with them. And then point number four, in regards to the children, raise them. Love them, rejoice with them, dwell with them, and raise them. We'll cover each one this morning. You'll notice in our text verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." It's not talking about Hollywood lust. It's not talking about Hollywood love. It's talking about biblical love. It's talking about biblical, godly love. And in our Bible, it's often referred to as charity. And if you want to have a full understanding of what I mean when I'm talking about what love is, men, take the time, take the discipline, and go study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then apply it to your relationship with your wife. Right? 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. But let me give you a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 13 in regards to charity or love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I'm talking about you loving your wife. And if you're going to love your wife in a biblical way, you're going to suffer long and be kind to your wife, or you suffer long. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It means you don't strut around all full of yourself. It's not puffed up. You're not full of arrogance. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Real biblical love doesn't have your self-interest in mind. It has the interest of your wife in mind. Is not easily provoked. Lord, help each and every one of us. Real biblical charitable love is not easily provoked. And if you're easily provoked by your wife, the problem's probably... Now, there's always an exception to the rule. And I understand that there's some really wicked women out there, okay? There is. There's ungodly wicked women that just seek to undermine and harass and torment a man. But I'm talking about in a general setting, in a normal setting, if you're easily provoked by your wife, you lack love for your wife. So 1 Corinthians says, thinketh no evil. Don't always think she's out to get you. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. She's going to put up with some things. Believeth all things, has some faith. Hopeth all things, don't be dark and gloomy, endureth all things. And then verse 8 says, charity never faileth. You don't know how to respond to your wife? Well, I'll tell you one way you won't fail. Just be charitable. You won't fail by being charitable. And that goes in any relationship. So we're talking about husbands, talking about men, husbands, love your wives. And we'll just leave it there as far as the explanation of what love is. And I want to encourage you men to go study 1 Corinthians 13 and then apply that kind of love to your wife. Now, here's the issue I'm having here this morning. And even as I'm studying it out this morning, as I'm praying over it, I confess I'm the biggest hypocrite in the room. Okay? And my wife's back there and she's probably sitting there, well, I wish you'd put some of this into practice, sunshine. Right? Because none of us are perfect, right? And I'm not standing up here saying I've got it all sorted out and I'm perfect. Go ask Leanne. She'll tell you real quick, I'm not. Right? I'm telling you what the book says. I'm telling you what God says and how we all need to come into line with the Word of God, all right? Notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Here's the standard. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the standard that I'm to live up to as a husband in my love towards my wife, the standard that's been set for me is Jesus. How are you fellas going with that? You met that standard? I mean, are you even trying to get to that standard? Are you even interested in having a love for your wife like Christ loved the church? What kind of love was it? Well, a sub-point under here is it was a self-sacrificial love. It says we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and notice that word, gave. Gave what? Gave himself for it. If you're going to love your wife, you're going to have to get self-interest in the background, and you're going to have to get her interest in the foreground. And your motives and your decisions and your actions need to be out of a love for what's best for her, not what's best for you. Let me make this statement. When Jesus came and died, he didn't gain anything by dying for you. He lost, but you gained. You see, the love that a husband ought to have for his wife is a self-sacrificial love. But the problem that we have in the world that we live in, love is all about selfishness. But biblical love is all about self-sacrifice. It's all about sacrificing what you want, sacrificing what would best suit you for what is best for your wife. You need to be willing to suffer loss so she can gain. You mean to repeat that? You need to be willing to suffer loss so she can gain. What do you mean? Are you willing to suffer loss of your time so she can gain some time? Are you willing to suffer loss of your choice so she can have her choice? I'm talking about not being a selfish human being. Not being a selfish man. And just, see, you can be masculine. You can be a man and still be self-sacrificing. Being a man isn't about going around sticking your chest out, flicking your braces, not suspenders, Bill, your braces, acting like you're all that. No, that's not what it's about. You can be masculine. You can be a man in 2021 and still be a self-sacrificing masculine man. I'm telling you, Jesus was more masculine than you'd ever dream of, and he sacrificed all for you and for me. Self-sacrificial love. But notice, jump down to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The first kind of love, the first example of God's, of Christ's love, is a self-sacrificial love. And then the second example of how I'm supposed to love my wife is how much I love me. I know what I want. I know what I like. I know what I dislike. But do I know what my wife likes? Do I know what my wife dislikes? Do I always demand my way, or do I make sure she gets her way? The nourishing and cherishing. Let me point out those words. Let me try and explain it this way. The word nourish means to supply with nutrient. It means encourage to grow, not too much. To supply and support. Supply nutrient, encourage to grow, to supply and support. See, you as a man, you know what you need to nourish you. You know what you want, and you make sure you get what you want, but do you know what your wife needs? Do you make sure she has the spiritual, emotional nutrients that she needs? Do you make sure that they're supplied for her to promote her growth? That's what Christ did when he died. He didn't just die on the cross and do nothing else, but he died on the cross to purify us, to save us. And then do you know what he does now? He nourishes us as a church. He makes sure we're supplied with everything spiritually we need to grow as one of his children, as his bride, right? As a husband, you're supposed to have some intelligence and you're supposed to understand the needs of your wife and meet the needs of your wife. Don't be so brain dead and so disconnected that you're not engaged with the needs of your wife. And you're not seeking to provide and supply and support her to encourage her growth. Encourage her growth spiritually. Encourage her growth emotionally and mentally and intellectually and all those things. That's your responsibility as a man. It's your responsibility as a husband. You know, when we first get married, we think it's just all about, oh, you know, it's all so awesome. Woohoo! It's all exciting. And yeah, then reality hits. Here's where reality hit me. We got married in August of 2001. And we moved, Kaylee was born in September of 2002. We moved from Tanham Sands near Gladstone to Darwin when Kaylee was 6 weeks old. And when we got up there, so I'd been married a little over 12 months and I had a little baby. And I just got overwhelmed with panic. I got overwhelmed with, I felt trapped. Since I left home, I was footloose and fancy free, did what I want, went where I want. If I didn't have money, who cares? All of a sudden, this weight of responsibility And I went into a bit of depression, to be honest with you. Sort of went into my shell a little bit as I tried to process the responsibility of caring for a wife and caring for my child and try. Hey, it's not just all sunshine and roses. There's a lot of responsibility comes with having a wife. God blesses you with a good thing, with a wife. There's a lot of responsibility on you to nourish her, but also cherish. And that word cherish means to treat with tenderness and affection, to give warmth and comfort, and to hold dear. Now, I've got to be honest with you, I really struggle with that because that doesn't come naturally. As a man, that's not a natural response for me. And for most men, that's not a natural response. A woman naturally responds that way, in that cherishing, nurturing, treating with tenderness and affection. We have a tendency as men to run roughshod. And we need to be really mindful that we don't. We need to be careful that we don't. And I've got to say to you, I look back in our early years of marriage and I can see where I ran over the feelings of Leanne. I didn't give them any regard. I hadn't learnt that. You see, when you get married, you think you've got it all figured out, but you really don't. You don't have anything figured out. And in fact, we've been married 20 years this year, and I feel like I'm just starting to make some progress in some areas. But you're going to have to be willing to make some progress and acknowledge you haven't got it all figured out. To treat with tenderness. We were doing some concreting here yesterday, and Johnny Cav was holding the post and holding them steady, and I was delicately and tenderly putting the concrete around the post so they didn't get moved and disturbed too much. Well, there was a young buck come along, Ian come along, and he was going to help, and he just starts throwing shovel loads of concrete in there. He meant well, and we were joking around, but I said to him, I said, tenderly, mate, gentle fingers, soft fingers. Just ease it in. So let's sprinkle it. You know, that's how you have to deal with a woman. That's how you have to deal with your wife. You have to be gentle. You have to be mindful of her emotions and her feelings. You can't just charge over the top of her and expect her to respond like a man. She's not going to respond like a man. I have to acknowledge that she's different to me. And she needs to be nourished and she needs to be cherished and she needs to be dealt with. Boy, see, I just get convicted just preaching it. So don't think I'm standing up here telling you I got it all sorted. Colossians 3 and verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, Aidan, you've been married. How long have you been married, mate? 3 weeks? 3 weeks, yep. 3 weeks, mate. Awesome, isn't it? Yep. Oh, come on. You got to give it more conviction than that. It's only been 3 weeks, bro. Yeah, well done. 3 weeks. There probably hasn't been, you know, you may not have even had your first fight yet, but it's coming. And, you know, it's a reality, isn't it? It's a reality. You're gonna fight, you're going to have an argument, you're going to have a disagreement. But the thing is, if you work through that, you get to know each other. If you're willing to work through that and work through that in an understanding biblical manner, you come out knowing each other better and loving each other better, right? And so what I'm saying is you've been married about 3 weeks and our verse says, love our wives and be not bitter against them. There probably hasn't been something arise yet in your relationship that you've had to deal with bitterness yet, right? No. Put you on the spot. No. But hey, the reality is that as you live with each other and as you're adjusting to each other and as the pressures of children come, the pressures of finances come, the pressures of life come and different needs get neglected and different wants get neglected and things like that, there's a danger. Husbands, we're told, the Holy Ghost put it in your Bible in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them because we have a tendency to get bitter towards our wives. And the reason we have a tendency to get bitter towards our wives is because we don't understand our wives. Don't understand them. Now, I'll be the first to acknowledge they're a complex creature. Complex creature. God made us different. And we need to acknowledge that we're different. Men are pretty simple. You know, as long as I've got Leanne and a T-bone steak, I'm good to go. That's all I need. Got my bride by my side, something to eat, we're good to go. Doesn't matter what comes, I'm happy. Right? Well, you know, there's more to a woman than that. And we do well to acknowledge that and try and live with her accordingly. Cherish her. Be not bitter against her. So point number one is love them. Point number two, rejoice with them. Go into Proverbs chapter 5, if you would please. Don't be nervous. I'm going to be sensible. I understand that it's a mixed audience and all the rest of it. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, 18 through verse 21. So we're told to love them, but then we're told to rejoice with them. And you know, there's a lot of marriages that are just endured, and there's not much joy and rejoicing within the marriage. It's not supposed to be that way. You're not supposed to just endure your relationship with Jesus. You're supposed to rejoice in your relationship with Jesus. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. It's not something that's just endured. The relationship between a husband and wife, it's not supposed to be just endured, but there's supposed to be joy and rejoicing. Notice what verse 18 says of Proverbs chapter 5. It says, "Let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." We're told to rejoice with the wife of our youth. You're supposed to rejoice with your wife, not just put up with your wife and not just endure the relationship. But according to Proverbs chapter 5, there's supposed to be a rejoicing. And that word rejoice means to be merry. It means to be joyful, and it means to be glad. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. For that is the portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun." But it says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity. We are to rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. The physical union between a husband and a wife, the physical relationship, is supposed to be a joyous, glad, merry occasion. It's not supposed to be something that is endured. The word, do you see the word ravished in your Bible there? It means to be intoxicated therewith. It means to be completely satisfied therewith. If you jump back up to verse 15 of that same Proverbs chapter 5, it says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well." Drink out of your own trough. Don't go looking elsewhere. God give you a wife, she give you a fountain. Fountain of joy. And there's two dangers. I'm going to be delicate, but there's two dangers when it comes to the physical relationship of a man and a woman within the bounds of marriage. And again, I'm going to emphasize that. This physical union, intimacy, is within the bounds of marriage. If you're not married, you have no business being involved physically with a man or a woman. It's forbidden in Scripture. It's regarded as fornication. It's sexual immorality, even in 2021. But what a blessed thing it is that God has allowed it in the bounds of marriage. It's a wonderful thing. And it's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something that we should blush at and flee from and pretend it doesn't exist. But there's two dangers that are encountered in marriage. Number one, let me give you the two dangers and I'll comment on them. When that physical relationship becomes pornographic or prudish. I know it's plain, but it is what it is. when that relationship becomes pornographic or prudish, there are extremes on either end that are unhealthy for that relationship. God didn't design it to be that way. If you read your Bible, God is not prudish. He's not a prudish God. Read your Bible. Nor is he pornographic. Read your Bible. I'll tell you what he is. So that's the danger that is encountered. But let me give you the delight that God intended. Purity and pleasure. And God intended it for pleasure. Without going into detail, you know, God, the intimate details of the human body, God designed certain portions of the body for no other reason than pleasure in bounds of marriage. This was for. And it's, you're to not only love them, but you're to rejoice with them. It's something to be rejoiced in marriage and to be enjoyed and to live with and to be a part of the marriage union. Too many men are selfish in this area, full of self-interest, and don't bother to make sure the needs of the wife are taken care of. And it's very, very important that that is done. So it's to love them, rejoice with them. Number three, let's move on so we can get a little bit more comfortable. Number three, dwell with them. Go with me to 1 Peter, if you would, please. But there just is a danger, folks, particularly within conservative Christianity. We need to be able to talk about the realities of life without being explicit, without being in plain. But our children need to understand that it's not disgusting. It's not dirty. It's not supposed to be that way. God didn't intend it to be that way. Is that okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, dwell with them. And you can all take a sigh of relief now. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Dwell with them. So husbands, it's your responsibility. This is addressed to husbands, got nothing to do with your wife. Husbands, it's your responsibility to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. What does that mean? It means you need to obtain some knowledge. It means you need to have an understanding and you need to have some wisdom. Twofold, you need to have biblical knowledge. You need to have biblical understanding. You need to have biblical wisdom when it comes to interacting and dwelling with the wife that God has given you. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You've got to live with her. It'd be good if you wouldn't be such a bonehead about it, but that you would get some wisdom and some knowledge. That's what it says. Dwell with them according to knowledge. According to biblical knowledge, but secondly, I want to say personal knowledge. Not only do you need to know what the scriptures say and embrace the teaching of scriptures and how you're supposed to interact and dwell with your wife, but you, not only do you need to study the scriptures, but it would do you well to pull your head out of the sand and study your wife. Get to know her. Have some wisdom. Have an understanding of who she is. Do you understand that she does not see the world how you see it? Do you understand that she does not see that particular situation that you're dealing with? She doesn't see it the way you see it? And it's your responsibility to dwell with her according, it's your responsibility to make way to her side and get an understanding of how she sees it. Now I'm not saying this is, I've made a few statements along that line. I'm not saying that you need to capitulate every little thing, you need to come around to the wife's way and do it how the wife wants. But you better have some wisdom. If you're going to be the leader, you better have some wisdom about your wife. You better have some understanding about your wife. And I've the Lord helped me. And, you know, I've thought about that. And, you know, you might be sitting there scratching your head, but how much knowledge do you need to have? Right? Well, more knowledge than I've got. Hey, Clive? Amen. I think every one of us men would put, I don't get it. Don't understand it. You know, something will happen. We'll be going through a situation and Leanne approaches it one way and I'm approaching it another way. And in my thinking, not biblical, in my thinking, I'm thinking if she'd just come over here and get on my page, we'd be right. It's a lot simpler over here. There's like one point. It'd be right. Right? And because you go over the wife's point, it's like a 17-point outline with 15 sub-points under each one. What we need to understand as men, listen to me, we are not about details. We are not about details. But if you want to dwell with your wife with any kind of joy, you better be willing to sit down and listen to the details. Ian? Aiden? Detail. Isn't that right, fellas? Details. They want to talk about the details and like I'm drowning in the details. It's like we've gone through four foolscap pages and we're still going. I'm getting a cramp in my hand taking notes. Isn't that right, honey? That's right. Hey, but that's how God made her. And I can be an idiot and resist that and have an awkward marriage, or I can say, Lord, take me back to 1 Corinthians 13. Lord, help me be kind. Help me to suffer long. Help me to bear all things. Help me. And when we got married, some of the biggest... And we've never fought, but some of the biggest discussions we've had, some of our biggest fights have been off the back of when we first got married. I was a bad listener, and Leanne's a very good talker, and I would listen, and I could sit and listen. But I'd have nothing in response. Because my personality is, and if you come to me as a pastor, you come to me with an issue, you want me to give an opinion. A lot of times I need a day or two to chew on it. I need to digest it and roll it around, and then I'm going to come back to you. Leanne, she just wants that back and forward. And I had to learn to think a little quicker and to engage and at least discuss a little bit and talk about it a little bit so we could communicate. Rather than me sitting there like a lump on a log with nothing to say. But I had to learn that. I had to obtain that knowledge. That's my responsibility. She's not given that responsibility. That's your instruction as a man. So biblical knowledge, personal knowledge. When it comes to personal knowledge, you need to be able to protect her. You need to understand what causes her fear, what causes her anxiety, stress, and noise in her heart and mind, and know how to protect her from it. Do you even know? Do you know what causes your wife anxiety? Do you know what causes her stress? Do you know what scares her? And do you seek to protect her from it, or do you like, just get over it? You know, in my early years of marriage, that's how, I may not have said that, but that's how I responded. That's what my actions said. But I've learned, I hope, in perhaps more in the last 10 years, I've learned Leanne some. And I've learned what causes her anxiety and stress. and I seek to put things in place to protect her from some of those things so she's at peace. That's your job. You're supposed to be a protector. You're supposed to take the pressure. You're supposed to take the heat. She's not supposed to. Not only protect her, but promote what causes her joy, what causes her peace and fulfillment and purpose in life, and seek to promote those things in her life. That's your responsibility as a husband. So you're supposed to obtain knowledge, but then it says honor her. You see that in our verse? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, modern culture, modern society says she's as strong physically, she's as strong mentally, she's as strong emotionally, she's as strong spiritually as a man. The Bible says that she's not. Now, we can sit and argue about it all day if you want. I'm just going with the Bible. And the Bible says that we are to honor the wife as the weaker vessel. And I've had some men come and say, well, it doesn't say she's the weaker vessel, it just says we're supposed to honor her as the weaker vessel. Listen to me. Me and Leanne could have an arm wrestle. I'm winning. It's just the way it's going to go down. I'm going to win. Because it's about the only one I'm going to win. Right? Because when it comes to the verbal arm wrestle, she just makes me look stupid in five different languages really quickly. You know, it's like, just give up. Just walk away. When something's happening, when there's turmoil and there's a storm in life, I'm able to navigate it in my mind smoothly. Leanne's navigating it through her emotions and things. She can't help. That's the way God made her. I'm not to rebuke her for that. I'm just to help her navigate through it and walk her through graciously, kindly, patiently. You see, when we get our roles mixed up, the marriage doesn't work. But if you as a wife and you as a husband would acknowledge your differences, acknowledge your responsibilities, and seek to work together in a biblical way, it runs smoothly. But when the wife takes the lead, it gets out of whack. When she's taken all the pressure, because old mate's too busy playing with his toys. Too busy on the computer game, too busy out shooting, too busy out fishing. He takes no responsibilities of the bills, no responsibilities of the pressures of life. You're failing your wife. Perhaps you're just too busy working. You're failing your wife. Good on you for working, but take some of the heat as well. Take some of the pressure. It's not popular, but it's Bible. Protect her. Stop loading her down with responsibilities and burdens and fears, and lighten her load. If you would lighten her load, the home will become a happier place. But let me point this out to you. The end of the verse, it says, as under the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together. You're not better nor more important than your wife. Did you hear me? You may be number one. And you may be the head of your home. And you should be. Biblically, you should be the head of your home. You should be leading your home. But you should be leading lovingly, patiently, and graciously. But just because you're the head of your home doesn't make you more important in God's eyes. Let me give you a verse, Galatians 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You talk about it. Out there they want to talk about equality. God's all with equality. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, there's neither male nor female. We're all equal in the sight of God. That's real biblical equality. I've got my role as the husband. Leanne's got her role as the wife. If I fulfill my role, she fulfills her role. We're both equal in the sight of God, just as important one as the other. One's not more important. Let's move on to the last point. I'm going to be quick on this one. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, please. Men, love them, rejoice with them, dwell with them, and then fourthly, raise them. In regards to your children, it is Father's Day, not Husband's Day. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, notice what it says. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up, raise them, bring them up. It's your responsibility to raise them. It's your responsibility to bring them up. Do you notice there in the verse it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Again, the word nurture is to supply with nutrient. It's to encourage to grow. It's to supply and support. As a husband and as a father, as a dad, as a father, it's your responsibility to provide your children with the nutrients they need to grow. And it's your responsibility to support their growth. So many men, Christian men and men out in the world, are completely disconnected and completely uninvolved in the raising of the children. She's got it. I go to work. You're a buffhead. If that's your mentality, it's silly. It's foolish. And I'll tell you what it is. It's lazy. Lazy. Lazy mentality. You, as a father, are supposed to be. It doesn't say mothers. It says fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath. So don't provoke them. Don't aggravate them. And we'll get to that in a minute. But bring them up. It's your responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. So as a father, you're supposed to be intimately involved in the raising of your children, making sure they get the nutrients they need and supporting their growth. And admonition, that's that gentle correction. There are so many husbands are absolutely disconnected from the discipline and the training and the raising of their children, and all the responsibility is on the wife, and they wonder why she falls apart. She's not supposed to carry all the load. She's supposed to be there in a supporting role. You're supposed to be the head of your home. Not the head of your wife, the head of your home. Get involved in the children. Know what they're going through. Have time to sit down and listen to them. Again, I got two daughters, and you know, sometimes they just need a little time. And they just need to talk. And Mackenzie, we get good time back and forth from Brisbane a couple of days a week, you know, and we get time to talk. And you know, sometimes she wants to talk and, you know, she'll be talking about this and she'll be talking about that, and she's just going off, you know, just all the way. And I'm like, well, she's just needing to talk. And she's needing to talk to her dad. You better make some time for your daughter. You better make some time for your boy just to listen. Just to listen. Colossians 3 and verse 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. That word discouraged means to become spiritless, disheartened, and dismayed. Two extremes. One, either the father is completely disengaged, and that's the norm in society. Father's not involved. Doesn't know what's going on in the lives of the children. Doesn't even really want to know. He's just at work and he does his thing on the weekend. The other extreme is that the father becomes perhaps nearly even obsessive and too controlling, micromanaging every little movement. I'll tell you what ends up happening. in a situation like that. I've been in church 20 years, been saved 21 years or so, been in church 21 or so years, been watching. There's a couple of things that I see that provoke children to wrath. Would you listen to me? Inconsistency. You think children aren't watching? They watch everything. They watch everything. Now, I've been inconsistent as a father, and I've had people come to me as a pastor, well, you're just inconsistent. Well, of course I am. I'm a human being. And kids, your dad is going to be inconsistent. You hear me? You children, you listening to me? Dad's going to be inconsistent because he's human. But you better minimize that inconsistency as much as you possibly can. Because when you're inconsistent, it just aggravates the children. They don't know what's up and what's down. They don't know what dad wants. There's just inconsistency. Hypocrisy. When dad says one thing and does another. If I'm going to demand out of Mackenzie and Kaylee, if I'm going to require them to be a certain way, I better lead the way and live it out first. They better see the example. Isn't that right, girls? If I'm going to require something of you, you want me to set the demonstration. Well, show me how to do it, Dad. Well, I tell you what, you just do as I tell you. Yeah, that works. That works while they're about 6, 7, 8. You get to 9, 10, you'll start having issues. If all it is you just do as you're told, they see right through that. They want to see you living it out. Don't be a hypocrite. You'll provoke your children to wrath. Irrational. Inconsistency, hypocrisy, and irrational. And when I talk about irrational, I'm talking about being too strict and having unrealistic expectations. You have to be sensible. In conservative Christianity, there is a danger to think that you're still living in the Hebrew culture. Let's remind you, you are not. You're living in an Australian culture in 2021. And if you try and restrict your children to live a Hebrew culture, I've seen it time and time again in conservative Christianity, because they take what's written to Israel and apply it to their family or themselves. You will provoke you've got it too tight, and your children cannot breathe. You have to be sensible, not irrational. And I'll tell you, it's hard because you want to protect your children. You want to protect your children, 16 and 19-year-old. You want to protect them from social media. You want to protect them from things that are online. You want to protect them from mobile phones. You want to protect them from all that stuff. But the reality is, all you can do is insulate them. You cannot isolate them from it. And if you seek to isolate them from it, you will provoke them to wrath. You will discourage them and dishearten them because they're living in 2021 and they're trying to live in this world, and you must allow them to live in this world, and you must trust God with them. Hardest thing. Letting your little girl get a license, and then you see her, she gets her P's, and you remember when she was playing with the dolls in the garden and you could sit there and watch. And you could watch for a snake or whatever. You could watch. They're okay because I can see them. But there comes a day you got to watch that little girl drive out of the driveway. And you're watching, and she goes around the corner, and you're like, oh, no. I hope she comes back. You got the phone on you. Yeah, you got to let go. Don't be irrational. Don't be unrealistic in your expectations of raising. Husbands and fathers, concluding thought, just a statement and I'm going to finish. Husbands, fathers, hold a high standard for yourself. Do better than you are. You can do better. I can do better. Remember, your standard is not your father. Your standard is not your father-in-law. Your standard is no one less than Jesus himself. And I'm pretty sure you need to pull your socks up a little bit, and I need to pull my socks up a little bit. So husbands, fathers, hold a high standard for yourself, but then wives and children, be patient with us. Be patient. Can I speak for myself? Be patient with me. Sweets. Girls, be patient with me. Not always consistent. Not always loving. But I'm giving it a go. And if you can acknowledge that your husband, he's not perfect. I've said it before, you know, you married him, you know, Anna Marie, you married him. He was your knight in shining armour. But you're going to find out he's a moron in tinfoil soon enough. And that's how we all are, isn't it? It's how we are. Hey, we get it wrong. We put our foot in it. We make mistakes. But if you wives and children can acknowledge we're not perfect, but we're doing the best we can. We're giving it a go. We're trying. But, man, don't let that be a cop-out. You can do better. Up your game in 2021. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, a hard message to preach because convicted all the way through it. And Lord, I'd ask you to forgive me, Lord, where I have failed my wife and my children and not been the husband or the father I ought to be, and I acknowledge that. But Lord, I'm thankful for your grace, but I'm also thankful for the instruction that I have in the scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased to bless my home and my marriage and my relationship with my children. And God, would you be pleased to help us? Lord, would you be pleased to help the marriages within the church, help the husbands and wives, Lord, and help the children, the mums and dads. Lord, would you minister grace? Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that don't have a loving husband or a supportive wife and they're living in a divided home and perhaps a lost spouse and it's difficult. God, how I pray for grace for those ones in that situation. Thank you that you understand. And Lord, I pray you'd help them and grant them the grace they need in the situation that they find themselves in. Lord, we ask your blessing on our time together. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think we'll have a hymn of invitation this morning. I think we'll just leave it at that. And we'll be dismissed. Can I just remind you of Bible Institute? Not Bible Institute. Can I remind you, first of all, of the nursing home and talk to Brother Raph? And then thank you, hon, quieting a noisy soul this afternoon at 4:30. And then we'll be meeting to pray at 5:30 before the evening service tonight. Good to have you visiting with us today. Thank you for visiting with us. And trust it was a blessing. It's been a blessing to have you with us. And have a good day, church. Lord willing, see you tonight. God bless you.